I'm going to have you turn to two places of Scripture tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. And in our kind of introduction here, we're going to be in Matthew chapter number 15. But I want to read our text tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. I get in the right place. Second Corinthians 11, and we want to read the first 15 verses here, what I hope to deal with tonight. Paul says here, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech." Now, when he's talking about rude here, he's talking about unpolished or unlearned. He was not a gifted speaker. He was not articulate with his words when he was speaking. "Though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been truly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that you might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. When I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, and in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you, not God knoweth, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." And we'll end off reading there. You know, false teachers and false religions have been around ever since the Garden of Eden. I mean, it started with Satan, right? God had just given man one commandment. All he had to do is keep that one commandment. But here enters Satan. Satan gets them blinded to the truth and thinking that they know better. Maybe Satan knows better than God does. And before you know it here, they've listened to false teaching, and it cost us for all, ever since the beginning there in the Garden of Eden. But, you know, in Jesus' time here on the earth, he also had to contend with false teachers. The scribes and the Pharisees were the original legalists, and they had bound the Jews with judgment and condemnation, and they would threaten to excommunicate them from the synagogue if they would break just one of their 600-plus rules that they had come up with. Now, it wasn't Scripture. They were the ones that had come up with it. It's the stuff they had added to. It was a tradition of men added to the law down through the generations. And before we get into our text here in 2 Corinthians, I want us to first look at Jesus' response to the false teachers of his day. And then we'll come back to our text and look at Paul's warnings to the Corinthians concerning the deception that had infiltrated the church at Corinth. We know that there was a problem there. Because of all the isms and schisms and cults in our day and time, please understand that these warnings are equally relevant to us. It's easy to be deceived if you are not in the book. It just is. The greatest thing that you can do to keep from being deceived is to study the Word of God. Get in the Word of God and study the Word of God. Know what it means. And when you know what it means, know what the Bible says, and somebody can't come and twist the Scriptures and try to make it say something that it doesn't say. Know how to understand context. You know, you can pull anything out. You can prove anything you want to prove by pulling Scripture out of context. But when you look at the verses before and the verses after and what's the whole thing it's talking about and compare Scripture with Scripture, when you take time to study the Word of God the way that you ought to, then you are less likely to be deceived. And that's just a proven fact. Why are there so many folks deceived? Because there's so little biblical knowledge. It's not that knowledge is not available. It's that people don't afford themselves of the what is available. And they don't take time to study themselves. I mean, you take here, we have four opportunities to sit up under the Word. Sunday morning Sunday school, Sunday morning church, Sunday night church, and a Wednesday night Bible study. How many do we have that just are, you know, they're satisfied with just one or two services? You know, don't think anything about faithfulness, what that's costing them in knowledge and costing them with something that's important with regard to the Word that they will wish that they had one day. Now, we see in Matthew chapter 15, I want to take a look at some things that signal a questionable ministry. These folks over in Corinth ought to have understood when these false teachers were coming in. They should have had some questions about what was going on there. Let's first of all look at questionable ministries substitute human tradition for divine revelation. In other words, people just, you know, this is the way I've always believed, or, you know, mom and daddy believe this, and, you know, and people have added to the Word of God just as surely, you know, human tradition as the Pharisees did. Let's take a look at verse number one. Here, Matthew 15, verse number 1. Then came Jesus to the scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders?" And now notice, I didn't say, why do your disciples transgress the Word of God? I didn't say that. Because they were holding their tradition in the same light as the Word of God. Look at what he said, for they wash not their hands and when they eat bread. Now, the Pharisees have come to Jesus with one of their loaded questions, and how does Jesus answer them? Look at verse number 3. But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress," and he points to the commandment of God, "by your tradition?" In other words, you take a look at your tradition is not according to the Word. Okay? And Jesus is saying that the Pharisees had basically negated the authority of God's Word, substituting their traditions instead. Be careful of anybody that negates the Word of God through something that's outside the Word of God. Amen? So, questionable ministries substitute human tradition for divine revelation. The second thing, questionable ministries have externals that seem right, but internally, they are far from God. Look at verses 7 through 9. We see that Jesus continues with his sharp rebuke to them. He says, says there in verse 7, "Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." False religions and cult members may sound right or look right on the surface, but don't be fooled. What does their heart truly reveal? What are their motives? And, you know, we can tell a lot by how folks handled the Word of God, can't we? Paul talked about, we said, we're not as those that handle the Word of God deceitfully. You know, there are people that use the Word of God deceitfully and twist the Scriptures and try to make it say something it doesn't say, try to make it say something, make it say what they want it to say. But we see that we need to look further than just the surface. We need to look farther than that. A third thing, questionable ministries offer teachings that defile and destroy. Look at verse 10 and 11. "And he called the multitude, and he said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man." Okay, now think about what he's saying here. Okay, the Pharisees had a problem with what the disciples were putting in their mouth and eating, taking in. Said, that's not what defiles. What defiles is what the Pharisees were doing. They were coming out with something that violated the Word of God. They were holding their traditions equally to the Word of God. Look at verse 12. "Then came his disciples and said to him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" I don't think our Lord really cared that he offended them. You know, when you use the truth, understand people are going to be offended with the truth. Okay? We are to share the truth of the Word of God in love, but truth in itself is going to offend because it grates against what man thinks. You know, when you think about questionable ministries that offer teachings that defile and destroy, when you think about what godly teaching does, what does it do? It brings glory to God, doesn't it? If I teach godly material, teach godly the Word of God to you, teach the Word of God, is that good for you?
Yes.
Yeah, build you up. That's that edification. Yeah, that's the reason why he gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors and teachers, and some evangelists. Gave all those for what? For edification. It's for the purpose of edification. And we know that we need to be edified by the Word of God. Now, the ugly truth of false religions and cults is that their teaching ultimately brings destruction in the form of spiritual ruin. Sometimes it brings also moral compromise, and sometimes it brings even emotional stability. Have you seen somebody that was in, I had a fellow in my second church when we were up in Tennessee, got saved, and he had some emotional issues, but he got involved. He got listening to somebody outside of the church, a cult, known as The Way. I don't know if you've ever heard of The Way, but he got hooked up with them, and very, very difficult trying to get him out of that mess. And but it's what it does. It brought him down. He wound up committing suicide. He wound up just couldn't handle the stress of what had happened in his life. He came back and said that I was right. You know, that those folks were wrong, but I think I don't know what happened to him after that, but he committed suicide. And that's a sad thing, because that's a lot of what false religions, cults will do to you. Questionable ministries also are led by the blind. Understand that these folks that claim spiritual wisdom, but their wisdom is not according to the Word of God. They're blind. In other words, they're blind leading the blind. Look at verse 14. Look what he says. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. In other words, these spiritually blind leaders were leading their equally blind followers to hell. Then Jesus says, stay away from them. Don't get sucked into their manipulation. And so, there's some things to watch out for in any religious organization. And I want to give you six things. The presence of any of these six things will shed light on any so-called ministry and really expose them for what they truly are. Number one is authoritarianism. When they lack a servant's heart, they lack grace. When you think of Jesus Christ, Jesus was full of truth and grace. False teachers lack truth, and a lot of times they lack grace. But one thing about these groups is they lord over God's heritage. When they have an attitude of, you accept what I say and you do what I say without question, you better understand you need to get far, far away from that. We were even in a supposedly independent fundamental Baptist church. Our pastor actually got up in the pulpit and said something along those lines, and we left. We left. Now, you do not accept blindly what some man says. Yeah. I don't care who he is. I don't care if he's got a big name. I don't care how big a church it is. But somebody says, you accept what I say and do what I say without question. No, my friend, you stick with God. Stick with the Word of God. Exclusiveness. Okay, authoritarianism, exclusiveness. When they try to involve suspicion and paranoia into their group and point out that theirs is the only true church and the only way. Listen, God's way is the only way. The way of Jesus is the way. Okay? He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I fully realize that there are going to be folks other than independent fundamental Baptists that are going to be in heaven. Okay? We need to know that. Do we have everything right? I would say no. Yeah. I believe we got the majority of it. Okay? Or I'd be something else. You know, we try to stick to the Word of God as best we can, but we are still sinful flesh, aren't we? And I'm sure when I get to heaven, I'm going to be shown some things where maybe I didn't have it all together. But by and large, I believe that our movement is as close as you can get to the Word of God. If I didn't believe that, I'd be something else. Somebody say, if you weren't an independent fundamental Baptist, what would you be? I say, I'd be ashamed. You know, don't get me wrong. I do believe that I'm in the right place. But for somebody to say, well, you know, you got to be a part of this group, or else you can't. You know, there's no hope for you. If you're not a part of our group, there's no hope for you. Stay away from that. Greed. Whenever a group tries to manipulate its followers to get money, that's a dead giveaway. It's something wrong. Sensuality. Remember the cult? Can you remember the name of the group now? They were down South America. Jim Jones. Yeah, got it. Jim Jones. Moral impurity and sexual looseness. Yeah, that ought to have been a dead giveaway. You know, something wrong. Something wrong. The Bible speaks against moral impurity. Speaks against sexual looseness. Unaccountability is number five. When there's secrecy and irresponsibility and not accountable, we try to make sure everything's above board here, and that we are an accountable And anybody that wants to see how the funds are being spent, we welcome you to that. We do put out a financial statement there on the back every month, put out an annual one. Trustees get the detail behind that. Details available for anybody that wants to take a look at it other than the giving records. Not able to look at the detail of the giving records, but well, I'm talking about how the money's spent. If you want to see how the dollars are spent, we don't hide it, okay? We freely tell you that you're welcome to take a look at that if you want to. So if you ever see a line on the financial statement, you say, well, what makes that up? If you want to know what makes it up, we'll tell you. We'll show it to you. And so rationalization is the last one. And that's manifested in defensiveness when confronted, and or the twisting of scriptures to fit one's lifestyle or opinions. You know, people begin to rationalize things. Right, with here's what the Word of God says. Yeah, I know the Word of God says that, but you know, when they throw that but in there to begin to rationalize, that's putting man's reasoning on the level or above the Word of God. Now let's talk about our need for discernment. Go back to our text tonight. 2 Corinthians 11. We know that false teaching has continued since Jesus' time, and as we've seen, it had invaded the Corinthian church as well. There were false teachers who had accused Paul of heresy, but in reality they were creating a heresy of their own. So in the 11th chapter here, Paul warns of these folks. We see the concern of a caring shepherd. There's no doubt that the Apostle Paul loved these people. Understand, there were few apostles, right? There were only a few apostles. The Apostle Paul, by God's grace, was made an apostle by the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on the Damascus Road. We don't have apostles today. So you're talking about a relationship that he had. He was an apostle to the Gentiles. Okay, he's known as the apostle to the Gentiles. And this is a Gentile church that he was writing to. He was responsible for. He's responsible for planting, helping plant this church. He had great care for it. He was jealous over it. Look at his concern, verse number 1. He said, would to God you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Paul explains his distaste for what he's having to do here. By folly, he means having to talk about himself, having to boast about his role, having to present his credentials again, and having to stress his apostolic authority. Yeah. I'm sure the Apostle Paul at times had the thought, well, you know, yeah, I wish I had been one part of the original 12, but I wasn't a part of the original 12, but Jesus did call me on the road to Damascus. I am an apostle. You know, he did have the calling of an apostle, even though it was questioned. But why does he continue to do this then? Look at verse 2 and 3. He says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." What were these false teachers trying to do? Well, they were trying to tack on the law. You got to keep the law and embrace Christ too. There was the Judaizers, if you've heard that term. It was really nothing more than what Jesus dealt with the Pharisees. They were trying to add to what the Word of God says. He's jealous for their spiritual purity, just like a father would be for his daughter's sexual purity before he presents her to her groom. Now, Paul wanted to offer to Christ a church with an unadulterated loyalty and love for him. That's what he was wanting. I mean, he was wanting to present this church pure to his Heavenly Father. Now, we see not only the concern of a caring shepherd, but we see the differences between the authentic and the artificial. Look at verses 4, here in verses 4 through 12 in this section. We see that Paul contrasts the true and the false. He's showing the Corinthians three ways to know the difference. First way is found in verse number 4. Look what he says. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached. And by the way, there's a lot of folks preaching another Jesus today that we don't preach. The Jesus of the Mormons is not the Jesus of our Bible. He's just not. The Jesus, a Book of Mormon Jesus is a different Jesus. When you start inquiring as to what who Jesus is, it'll tell you a whole lot about that movement. Any group that denies the deity of Christ, the eternal deity of Christ, not that he became God, but he's always been eternally God. See, Jesus didn't become God, he was God. He became man is what he became. God in the flesh. Now, false teachers proclaim another Jesus and a different gospel. That first word, another, there, we says, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, that first word, another, is translated from a word that means another of a similar kind. In other words, a false teacher may talk about Jesus, he may sound biblical, but listen, he's fooling you if he adds to who the Bible says Jesus is, or if he takes away from who the Bible says Jesus is. If he takes away from his deity, or if he adds something to it and say, well, he was Lucifer's brother. What? You know? What you need to do is realize that things that are different are not the same. Okay? I mean, that's just a basic thing. Things that are different are not the same. And if they're adding to or taking away from the biblical Jesus, then they're preaching another Jesus. Now, the second word, another, notice there he says, for he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. The second and third word there is another of an opposite kind. It comes from it's translated from a word meaning another of an opposite kind. That their spirit of these false teachers is opposite to the spirit of Christ. The spirit of the false teachers was causing divisiveness. What does the spirit of Christ cause? Unity. See? They all have told them something. Should have told them something. Their gospel opposes the gospel of salvation, usually adding works. The phrase there that he says, you might well bear with them, is really kind of a touch of sarcasm, meaning, you know, you guys are just putting up with this stuff. You know? They were tolerant of this heresy. Just like they had been tolerating in the First Corinthians chapter number 5, they were tolerating immorality. Now they were tolerating false teachers. Shouldn't have been. So false teachers proclaim another Jesus and a different gospel. Second thing we see here, false teachers have a lot of charisma. The Corinthians were persuaded to embrace heretical teaching because it was wrapped in appealing charm. Look at Paul begins his defense there of that in verse 5 and 6. He said, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech. You know, some of these guys were flowery in their speech. I mean, they were really good orators. They were very good pulpiteers. But they weren't much on truth. Yeah. It makes a difference. He said, but though I be rude in speech, and again, that means unpolished, unlearned. He answered ain't probably a few times. I don't know what ain't would be in Greek, but anyway. But what he's saying there is basically his argument is this. Let's finish reading verse 6. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been truly made manifest among you in all things. And here's his argument. He's saying, I'm just as authentic as the original 12 apostles. And he's saying, you know, if you place me next to Peter, Andrew, James, or John, I can measure up with the best of them. Others may be more eloquent, but what I lack in eloquence, I more than compensate for in knowledge, for God has taught me what I'm teaching you. And boy, he did have a lot of knowledge, didn't he? Apostle Paul, he had the knowledge. Don't be seduced by persuasive delivery. You better check the content. False teachers are greedy. Some of these teachers were telling the Corinthians that Paul's words weren't worth hearing because he refused pay from the Corinthian church. He said, hey, he's not even allowing you to pay him. Okay? And so that means what you're hearing from him is good for nothing. That's basically the argument here. Paul addresses this in verses 7 through 9. He says, have I committed an offense in abasing myself? In other words, he's humbled himself that ye might be exalted. He humbled himself, came there, didn't take any pay, so he could build them up. That's what he's saying. He said, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. No charge. No charge. In verse 8, don't get the idea that he held up other churches. But he's basically using hyperbole here. He says, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. I mean, if he was not really sharing the truth with them, it would be robbery, wouldn't it? Look at verse number 9. And when I was present with you, and wanted, in other words, when he had a want, when he was in their presence, he said, I was chargeable to no man. He didn't go ask somebody for help. He didn't go say, hey, you know, can you help me get some food today? I'm seem to be a little short on change. No, that's not what he did. You know, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And again, it came from the outside. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. You know, he said, I did this for your benefit, to keep from being a burden to the church, not for anything else. Paul had received offerings from other churches so that he could remain financially free in ministering to Corinth. He never wanted to say that he came to them for money that they could have. Understand, this was not a poor church. They could have amply provided. It was really a rich church. But Paul had his reasons for doing this. Now, Paul concludes his personal defense there in verses 10 through 12. Notice what he says. He says, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we are. You know, there would have been some folks, had he took money from the church, that said, wait, Paul's just in town because we got money. Right? Yeah, I guarantee you. Some of them would have accused him of coming to Corinth just because he knew Corinth had plenty of money. And that he could get a good love offering out of the deal. Because of his love for the Corinthians, Paul would continue to point out these wolves in sheep's clothing. Jesus said in Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Acts 20 and verse 29, Paul said this to the church at Ephesus. He said, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He told that to the Ephesus elders there as he was departing Ephesus. Now we see the source of false prophets there in verses 13 through 15. He says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Paul was not surprised by the popularity of these false teachers because he knew their source. Satan was behind it all. He's the archenemy of Christ himself. He disguises himself. The words transforming there means to change in fashion or appearance. The idea of a masquerade. You know, masquerade, nobody can tell who you are. And Satan masquerades. You know, looks like a good guy. Satan and his followers may appear right and good at first, but verse 15 says that right there at the end of the verse, verse 15 says, their end shall be according to their works. They become victims of their own lies and they perish without Christ. Yeah. Understand, not only do they deceive, but they're self-deceived. Yeah. Sad, isn't it? But here's the final thing. Keep yourself from falling for the phony. Whatever's phony that's out there, and there's plenty of it, I can tell you. There are two suggestions to help you discern authentic ministries from the artificial. Yeah. And we encourage, when folks come to join here, we encourage people to look at our doctrinal statements, see what we believe. Yeah. And we have scripture to back it up. We got it in writing. Probe into the doctrinal statement of the organization. Does it proclaim the deity of Jesus Christ as the eternal second member of the Trinity? Do they believe in the authority of the Scriptures? Does it offer salvation as a free gift of God, purchased at the cross by Christ, available without works, based on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? Man, if anything like that is missing out of that, you need to leave it alone. It's heresy. You know, when people get away from the basics of traditional Christianity, be very, very wary. You need to leave it alone. Also, you need to look at the private lives of the leadership. You know, are the leaders accountable? Do they have a servant's heart? Are they free from sexual and moral impurity? Are they free of greed and financial impropriety? Are they willing to answer hard questions openly and honestly? Yeah. Some that have come to join with us, they want to sit down and say, I got some questions for you. You know what I did? I sat down with them, let them ask questions. Ain't got nothing to hide. I know where I stand. And, you know, we're not trying to hide anything here. We're open and honest. Remember that we have a message of hope based on Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And when we come into contact with somebody who's caught up in false teaching, we need to know our Bible and stick to the issues of Christ and salvation and pray that they're going to respond. Don't you dare invite them into your house and sit there and listen to what they have to say. You're not supposed to do that. We're not to be open to their doctrine that they're twisting the Scripture. Because I can tell you, they can get you bumfuzzled. They just will. If you don't know your stuff. Now, if you know your stuff, you can have them where they're backing out the door and headed to their vehicle pretty quick. Because they can't handle the truth. Yeah. Can't handle the truth. The truth is what prevails. All right, let's pray. I know it's a little long tonight. But anyway, we'll pray.